Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and minds, to be receptive, Father, to this your word, and that we can obtain and retain, Father, the truth of this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, that we can grow thereby into being a better child of yours, stronger in all ways, ever learning, Father. Now, Father, be with us through this study. And I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the third chapter of Colossians. And it's not going to let up from chapter 2. In fact, we're going to find a lot of things there in this chapter that very, very, very few will actually accept to be a part of their life. And yet it is things that we need in order to make heaven our home. But it's missing in so many. And that's why we are in this nation in the shape that we are in. All right. Let us begin. Verse 1 of chapter 3, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. 2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. 5. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. 6. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. 7. In the which ye also walked sometimes when ye lived in them. 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. 11. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. I'm going to stop there, and we're going to take and look at what we have just read to see what is really in these verses to give us a better understanding. In that first verse that we read, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And he's talking about if we are risen, and therefore, since we were dead and we were raised. The word therefore refers a truth from chapter 2 and verse 20, where it tells us that you died with Christ. Not only have the Colossians believers been freed from sin, but you see, it's all for you and I today also. It's not just for them. This is for all, for the children of Almighty God. Because if you are a child of God, you have been through everything you're going to find listed. Now, you know, since we've been freed from sin, they've also turned to a new life, leaving behind the old ways, habits and values and vices, interests and sins. And we should be seeking those things which are above. And these things include a deeper knowledge of Christ, a closer fellowship with him, an experience of his resurrection power, victory over sin, the development of godly virtues, the fulfillment of domestic and social responsibilities, an effective prayer life, fruitfulness in witnessing, in a word, the attainment of Christian maturity, and all the spiritual benefits God has for his people during their days on earth, who have been raised with Christ, and not to seek these blessings would be a contradiction. How you look at what has been said here about that first verse. That first verse wasn't long, was it? But it is what it was saying, which leads to bring us about how we accept and how we walk in this life. And we are to walk as he walked. And we find that that's one of the ways for us to do it. Now, there in verse 2, he says, set your affections on things above. And the Greek word literally says, set your mind on things above. The readers are not to be preoccupied with things on the earth, such as current hierarchical philosophies, legalistic practices, and vices, nor are they to dwell on things that are not wrong in themselves. We're not even to dwell on these things that I'm going to be naming here for you. There's nothing wrong with them within themselves. It's only when we dwell on them and we put these things in place of God. On these things that are not wrong in themselves. Houses, jobs, careers, ambitions. But can be wrong should they become priorities above Christ. You see, in just reading, we don't get this, all of this, do we? It takes that study. It takes that time to really look at the wording. Now, 3, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. All right, your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is deposited with Christ, who is in intimate relation with God. As all wisdom and knowledge resides in Christ, so the believer's new life is stored up in him. This means that the Christian life belongs to the spiritual or heavenly realm. And Jesus is in intimate relation with God, so are his followers. Since the Colossians now belong to the heavenly realm and are intimate with God, they should seek those matters and interests pertaining to heaven and not to earth. And you and I are to be doing these very same things today. But most of them we have never even heard about, because our churches has quit preaching this kind of stuff. Now, here's verse 5. Verse 5 tells us, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, the evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is adultery. That's what 5 says. So when we really take a look at it, this word mortify means to put to death. By a figure of speech, members is put in place of the various sins that exist in and seek to express themselves through different members of the human body. Paul urges his readers to put to death all sins residing in your bodily members. Therefore, look back to verse 3. Inasmuch as they are dead to sin, they are to make this death to the old life a reality in daily living. In daily living. But are you doing that? Are you really doing this? The things that we are reading and studying here. You know, as we come on down now to 9, it says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Seeing means since. The old man is all that a person was prior to salvation. His worldly thinking and sinful acts. Since all of this was renounced at conversion, one should lie not falsehoods. Ill becomes the person claiming to be a disciple of him who said, I am the truth. I am the truth. And as we go on down into 10, and if we have put on a new man, person, one becomes after conversion, we are to become a new person. We know that. We have been told that quite a few times since we have come this far and come through the four Gospels and this far through the New Testament. One becomes after conversion. He possesses a new nature, values, aspirations, and a new lifestyle. This new man is constantly being renewed or developed until he attains a mature knowledge of the God who recreated him. The more a believer knows and understands of God, the more he will be like God in character and conduct. Think about that. So I'm giving you a little time, giving you just a little time to think about these things. So there in 11 where we quit reading, for there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Not only is the new man to put sin to death, he is also to put away man-made barriers that divide people and that nourish the vices of the old life. Among renewed humanity, there are no natural ceremonial culture or social distinctions to the redeemed. Christ is all. That is, he is everything, and he is what matters most to them, and Christ is in all that is. He dwells in all believers. Now, is he really dwelling in you? You know your life. Look within yourself to see how much of this we have been told this morning that we should be, and see how much is really and truly there, or how much we need yet to work on in order to be this child of God that God is wanting you and I to be. All right. We're going to read now. Here's verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Put on literally means to dress oneself with clothes here used metaphorically. It means to take on or assume certain virtues and qualities. Vows of mercy means heartfelt compassion that we are to put on there according to verse 12. Verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Well, we all know that that is telling us the fact of believers being urged to assume the virtues of vice 12 signifies that none has yet arrived spiritually. As the believer is developing these virtues, he must be forbearing and forgiving toward his fellow church member, for his Christian brother is also in the process of acquiring the virtues of verse 12, and therefore retains some flaws and deficiencies and weaknesses, and hence the need of forbearance and forgiveness. These are things why we are to be forgiving. But the main reason is Christ forgave us ours. And if we are to be a child of God, then we must walk and be as Christ was. Now, and that is to be forgiving. 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity is love. We know this. Here called the bond of perfection, love is the crowning grace, completing the list of virtues required for perfectness or spiritual maturity. As a bond, it binds all other virtues together in harmony and unity. You see, that is what we all need. And then it will bring us in to harmony and the unity in the things of Almighty God that we need. And that is what will make a church be and belong to the Lord. Now, 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. The peace of God in the harmony and concord created by God among his people, it is to rule. It tells us that this Greek verb means to act as an umpire who makes decisions. And an athletic context. Thus, let the peace of God rule in your heart means that when believers are at odds with each other, whatever course of action best maintains peace and fosters harmony is the course to be taken. It's all right, you know, to have disagreements and all. But when we have them, we are to sit down with each other and talk things out until we reach a unity in whatever this discord has come up over. And then that must be in agreement with the Word of God. Because just agreeing with each other will not bring harmony unto the church. And we're talking about God's church. We're not talking about none of these out here, this ministry or any other ministry. We're talking about bringing that harmony to God's church, which is within his children. Now, there is to be harmony there. Sixteen. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And when believers are forbearing and forgiving and loving toward one another, when peace reigns among God's people, then the church is fertile soil for the blessings produced by the word of Christ. And then, you know, we can all feel that song and harmony in our hearts and really enjoy good gospel singing when it is done to be a praise unto the Lord God our Father. Think on these things. Now, 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And the beneficial influence produced by the indwelling word of Christ is not only to affect public and private worship, but it is also to control all areas of a Christian's life. It's to control all areas of our life. 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Well, we know that we can't force our wives to be submissive. It's got to come from her own free will. And as it is said in the Lord means that the wife's submission to her husband is proper in her relationship with Christ's submission, and rendered her husband is submissive, rendered to Christ. Now, you know, we don't make slaves out of them. We are really to put them on a pedestal. You see, they're told how to do and be. They're to reverence you and I and to be submissive to us as husbands, but we are to have them on a pedestal. Now 19 here in Colossians tells us, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. This is a shorter version than we're going to find later on. Now, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, 21. Father, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You see, we are being told how to act with each other in the family. The wife is to be submissive to her husband. The husband is to love their wives and be not bitter against them. The children are told to obey their parents. And we are told not to provoke our children to anger. It means treat them right. Bring them up the right way and all. And there's times they have to be corrected, yes. But do it rightly. Now, Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. This eye service he's talking about there in 22 is work done only when the master's watching. And Christian slaves were to work hard even when their owners were absent. Singleness of heart means a sincere disposition. So we have to be careful, even on our job and our work. We are to give our best, not just when we're being watched, but when our employer is not watching us. 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You do it just as if you were doing it for the Lord our God. 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now, 25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons. You see, we are all to be as the word of God tells us to be. And there is no respect of persons. That is for each and every one of us. I pray that you have gained knowledge this morning that you didn't have. And I pray that you will take a look inside yourself and judge you yourself to see what you are missing or lacking and seek God so that you can obtain what is missing and bring that into your lives. Because I don't want to see any one that will hear this message lost. Not one. I love each and every one that will hear this message, whether it is now or later, as they download it. Because I want the best for them. So judge yourself and find out what you are missing. I pray that God has blessed you with this study this morning. Now let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as I have closed the word, I thank you for this word, Father. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for the times that we come together and to those that are with me during these studies. And I pray for each and every one of them, Father, and for any that will hear this message. I pray, Father, that it will help them along the way to be what you want them to be. Now, Father, I pray for Israel. I pray for peace. Well, I also pray, Father, for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah, and that one day Israel will be known as the land of Jesus. Father, this land of ours, so evil. But this evil has been brought upon this land by those, Father, that are in high places in our government offices. And I'm asking, Father, for a way for them to be removed from office and replaced. Those of your children, Father, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, love your church, love your people, and love this country, and will work with us to put this land back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, I pray that you keep us through this day in health, in safety, as we each go about our work today, doing the things we must do. And bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. and back into your word, Father. And may they all walk through this day with you, never leaving you, Father. I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all. Have a good one. Bye-bye now.